Okay, with the time being 6:30, I'll declare the meeting open and, as always, begin with our opening statement. Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional lands and waters of the Paramount and Kaurna people. They are custodians of this ancient and beautiful land, and so we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. We will care for this country together by ensuring the decisions we make will be guided by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. We do have one apology this evening, Councillor Gill. We have two previously approved leave of absences for Mayor Wisdom and Councillor Pascali. And we have a leave of absence request from Councillor Cheetah, which is up on the screen. Would someone like to move something in motion? Councillor Osterstoff, happy to move that to the screen. Thanks. Councillor Grant, a second. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. So, Nick.
Was there also a leave of absence for Councillor Gill for a period of time?
Yeah, that was endorsed at the last meeting.
Thank you.
So we have minutes of the previous meeting, the 9th of April 2024. Would someone like to move those? Councillor Herman, have you move as printed? A seconder. Councillor Parkin, all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Do we have any declarations of conflict of interest this evening? Councillor Munch.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yes, my conflict of interest is an imperial conflict of interest, and it relates to item 12.2, review of council assessment panel sitting fees. I'm a member of that panel, and I could receive a pecuniary gain or loss potentially, depending on the outcome of that. So I'll be leaving the chamber for that discussion.
Thank you, Councillor Munch. Likewise, I also have the same conflict of interest due to being a deputy member of CAT, so I stand to potentially make a pecuniary benefit or loss depending on the decision made, so I'll be required to leave the chamber as well for that particular item, which means one of you will be sitting in this chair. Councillor Herman.
I have an interest in the item called River Flood Management Authority. I have a general interest in it. I am the council's nomination on that floor, but I believe that I do not have a conflict, so I will remain in the chamber and I will vote on that.
So you're declaring a general conflict?
General interest.
Interest, just an interest. Appreciate that. Anyone else? No? So we'll move on to point six, Mayor's opening remarks. Just make two short points. The first one was around our recycling hubs. There's been a lot of really positive feedback in relation to those from the community, and already quite a good uptake of bringing in those items which are difficult to recycle. So really pleasing to see those in place across the three libraries, and obviously looking forward to our upcoming Anzac Day services and seeing you at various services throughout the district. So we'll move on to item seven. There are no questions adjourned or questions lying on the table. We do have one petition this evening in relation to the Taringa Residents Association and traffic hazard along a couple of residential streets. Mr. Waters, do you have any additional information you'd like to provide the chamber for this item?
Not acting then.
Would someone like to move something in relation to this item? Councillor Grant, what would you like to move?
The motion is printed.
Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, thank you.
Someone wants to second. Councillor Parkin, would you like to speak to the motion? Would anyone like to debate the item? No? Okay, with debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We have no deputation this evening. We do have a public forum. Are you interested in coming up to speak to the chamber tonight?
Not fine.
That's fine. Just the opportunity is always there. So I sort of thought I'd share. But thanks for coming along and having a listen. We have no presentations, no questions on notice, and no motions on notice. So we'll come to administrative reports. The first one in relation to Stirling Main Street businesses. Does the administration have any additional information they'd like to provide the chambers that you missed, Chuck? No. Nothing. Okay, excellent. Some like to move something in relation to that item. So, Councillor Munch.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Yeah, look, I'd like to move the resolution as presented on the screen at the moment. Yeah, so essentially this particular report came out of a motion that I moved a couple of meetings ago to investigate methods of financial or other support that we could provide to Stirling Main Street traders as a result of the Stirling Village Mall Woolworths fire in October last year. I commend council staff and particularly Brett Main, who I believe has taken the lead on this investigation. And we also had a workshop on it where we discussed some of the intricacies of providing support. And there was also some consultation with other organisations, Main Street traders, and probably most importantly, the representative body for the Main Street traders, which is the Stirling Business Association. And they gave some comments and some opinions on what should be done. I guess when I first put this motion forward, I was sort of thinking that it would be very nice if we could provide some really temporary and targeted financial support to business owners. And as a person who has owned a small business previously and has been in a financial situation where I've given up a full-time job to run a business, I know the worry that you can have about your financial situation when you do that, basically, and where your source of income is going to come from, where your revenue is coming from, things like that. However, I think through the consultation and some of the comments made at the workshop and the feedback that was provided by our Traders and Business Association, it seems like the amount of effort that we would have to go to provide financial support to make sure it was targeted at the right people, I guess outweighs the level of support that it would actually provide in terms of monetary value, and that there are some other things which council can do which I guess fit a bit more comfortably with what people consider the role of council in these sorts of situations, such as providing a marketing campaign for visitors to Stirling Main Street, which could potentially increase the income of some of those struggling businesses, and potentially for relatively modest amount of money, $20,000, and get quite a big bang for buck. So that's why I guess I've decided to support those measures, elements number 2 and 3. And thank you for Councillor Boyd for adding number 4 as well, that we need to make sure that the businesses on the main street are aware of all the things that our economic development area can provide to main street traders as well. Point number two, which is a relatively small thing because it's a cost of $3,000 for 3 years from 2024 to 25. Is probably more of a token thing, but it just means that that council is recognising that there is a shortfall because of the decrease in the property valuation of Stirling Mall property, and that we're going to make up that shortfall. So symbolically, I guess we're not asking the traders on the main street to share that 1 minute reduction. So I commend the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Boyd, would you like to second?
Yes, I'd like to second it.
Speak to the motion.
Yes, please. So with number one, oh, it's now 2. Yes, obviously with the levy from the SBA rates, it's gone down to 4 to 5 premises, not there anymore. And they must come up to a total of 110,000. So if we weren't to cover that extra 3,000, it would be on the in the hands of the remaining traders to actually cough that up, and I think that this is not a time for that, and it's something that's easy for council to do. And with regarding the marketing plan, it's a really big yes, because council can put money in together with the SBA and do an agreed project that will work for all. And as SBA have expertise in business, it'll be a great resource to make use of as well. And as it is actually less easy to shop in Stirling now, people are going to Bridgewater, Mount Barker and Furrowville. And so we need to tell residents that they want to have a village here in 4 years' time if the shops close down and we're just a service-based village. So how can we keep this marketing to keep Stirling alive is really, really important. Regarding the one-on-one business, basically, as far as Simon Jones from the SBA is concerned, he said that instead of a cash donation, he'd much prefer council offer specific professional help to each business. When it comes down to it, with the old motion, with the $1,000 to those businesses that have had a 30% loss, it's not enough to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference between whether they're opening or closing. And so I think help with advertising or online presence or other council help that we could have to help businesses get up to speed in one and what they need help with. From business, we need to ask the businesses, what are your issues now and how can we help directly? So now I think that's it. I think, yeah, we've got to teach man fish and help with the marketing plan and with training as well.
Thank you, Councillor Boyd. Would anyone else like to speak to this motion? Councillor Hammond, you have a question then,
Councillor. Not sure if the mover or to Ms. Charlton. How will council measure the success or otherwise of the marketing campaign? What sort of targets do you set there? What milestones do you have? Yeah, the measurement of success for that 20 grand.
Through you acting, through everything there. We haven't set that out in the report, but that can certainly be something that we identify in the development of the campaign, like other creative and marketing campaigns. Indicators for success to measure how well that has delivered on what it's set out to. Although, you know, there are aspects of that would be tricky to measure around even long-term economic outcomes for the main streets because of these longer lead times on those results.
Thank you. Second question is, are we only committing ourselves to next financial year, or is there the possibility that we open up an expectation that we'll continue that campaign in the next two or three?
No, for 0.3, it is for 2024. There is no suggestion that it will be continued up.
And now that's the question.
Yeah. So, you want to speak on the motion?
Yeah. Just one sort of question. When I read it, thank you, Councillor Murray, for sending it around earlier. I did consider that point three perhaps should read after 24-25, the low cost 20 grand, 24-25, be included in the draft annual business plan 24-25. I did mention it briefly to Councillor Martin just before the meeting, that would be my preference, though. I won't die in a ditch.
I'll leave it up to Councillor Munch.
He wishes to
avoid as the mayor and secondary, they're comfortable to bury that.
I think my preference would be for us to make a decision tonight on this and it's going ahead to that rather than providing additional uncertainty to the businesses.
So you prefer to leave it as
yes.
Councillor Sissok, you have a question?
Thank you. Has there been any discussion with the Stirling Business Association in relation to the proposed marketing campaign and council's contribution, and more importantly, whether the business association are prepared, should this motion, in specifically point three, get up, whether the business association is prepared to contribute dollar for dollar or contribute financially to a marketing campaign and engagement of consultant?
Through you, Acting Mayor, there's certainly been discussions with the Stirling Business Association about the options that I want to support, including the targeted marketing campaign. That association regularly undertakes their own marketing initiatives using their own funds raised through the levy. We would expect this to continue and we work with them on development of their campaign so that they could leverage aspects of themselves and the elements of the night themselves, although there's been no discussions about formal agreement,
Councillor
Sill?
I just need a
follow-up question, Phil. And I ask this question through you. $20,000, what is that likely to get the council? And can I preface that question by engaging a consultant for an activity? $20,000 would get them to sign on the dotted line, let alone provide any productive, tangible provision of service, in my mind.
Yeah, I can answer that one.
Yes.
CA, yeah, sure.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I'll answer this one. The $20,000 is predicated on some of the work we've done previously, and you might be familiar with the work around Hamilton Hill, Turingi, that was presented to us last night.
Yeah.
They use a consultant to develop an campaign with some concepts, and that was in the order of $20,000. So the assumption is that $20,000 would be used in a very similar way to get a very similar campaign as what we're doing now.
Thank you for that clarification. Preparing a campaign is one thing. Implementing it is another thing, which costs money. Where is that money going to come from with respect to this motion as it currently is worded?
Sure. And I guess what we're anticipating is part of that $20,000 will be, some of it will be rolled out. And there is an opportunity, as it's not well developed at the moment, but there is an opportunity to bring into the fold the Sterling Business Association and see what role they can play, if that's so desired.
I guess the motion as it is you're going to decide whether you spend $20,000 to develop and implement the campaign. That's what the motion says. So that's what we're deciding on with this motion. And I should just for a point of clarification, with what was presented last night, that figure is roughly the same for the design and implementation of that campaign, not just the design. Is that correct?
But I know that in preparing this report, the office did have discussions with the communications team, and this figure was considered a reasonable proportionate amount to develop some creative concepts and then for some level of implementation. Knowing that we have staff resources that can bolster that. And that could include things like cost-effective measures using social media, as well as the small-scale activation that could be expanded on using business-as-usual council operating budgets.
Councillor Sill?
Thank you. And through you, Acting Mayor, do we have any evidence of reduced visitation to Sterling, and how much of that do we know is tourist visitation versus local visitation?
Through you, had anecdotal feedback certainly from local businesses that the bike traffic is down. Yes, but I don't know whether there's tourists versus local residents.
Feedback I've received from a couple of businesses is a small down in tourists. With that could be specific from individual business, I couldn't say whether that's a broad.
The administration said that this marketing campaign would be targeted towards more tourism or towards residents who are not coming because of the loss of the supermarket.
Through you have defined the particular strategy, works like that and consider a range of communication strategies which could include targeting local residents or broader in this community, or also further out to other
you know, that Lake Metropolitan area as a destination shopping
centre. Councillor Bowen?
Yeah, thank you. Through you. I really support the, I guess, the sentiment of this, but I would be more comfortable with Councillor Herman's amendment around adding potentially 0.32 2024-2025 budget. There's a couple of reasons for that. I'm going to talk to that.
You have the choice to move the amendment, but if you speak to the motion, you cannot move the
amendment. Oh, all right.
You're referring to governance. Would you say either he spoke to the motion or is still within the scope of moving the amendment? Okay, so if you want to move an amendment, you could do so before you speak. You would need to say what that amendment is.
I would like to move the amendment. Thank you very much. Thank you for reminding me of the protocol. So I would like to actually move the amendment that Councillor Herman suggested, which was to put that budget of $20,000 in the 2024-2025 budget. And
so on the end of point three,
for consultation.
Yeah, so it says that.
Great. And the reason, there's a couple of reasons I think that that's important. Firstly, I know, because we had it presented to it last night, that we do have under consideration at the moment a really excellent campaign that is going to be launched and going to go ahead for the Adelaide Hills. Am I allowed to mention it? I'm not going to mention detail, but I'm allowed to mention I know that it exists.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so I know that.
You just got back from
home. Yeah, God, like, right, even more loose. So basically, we know that has been created. And without wanting to do anything I'm not supposed to, it's potentially excellent and potentially has use case across council and potentially has use case here as well. It's very potentially adaptable with a number of possible slight changes and tweaks that could actually make it suitable for a whole lot of purposes across the Adelaide Hills, including this potentially. So for that reason, I think rather than committing this amount of money for this particular purpose without us first being aware of other initiatives that are in train and in play, designed to support the whole council that could also be used for this, I think we should hold off until we are fully across the other confidential intended marketing program. And we can potentially see if we can save some money by utilising some of that potentially excellent creative, which already exists. So for that reason, I would like to hold off on this because it's quite possible that we could run them together.
Just to clarify, though, you're not technically holding on. You're saying we're going to include this in our AVP to go out of consultation to our community. That's what you're saying.
Yes, that's correct. But it need not be, hang on, it needs, that budget could be spent alongside something that already exists to enhance this area as well as the whole area, if that makes sense. Which it probably won't until you've seen the thing that I'm not allowed to talk about.
Maybe it'll get its last spot, may not have this.
Okay.
All right, so we have an amendment, which is that the marketing strategy be included in the draft and the business budget and business plan for consultation. So I'd like to second that amendment.
While
you've spoken.
Am I allowed to? Sorry.
We'll just see if we can see the second of first. Councillor Sheedy, you'd like to second the amendment?
Yes.
Would you like to speak to the amendments? You're speaking specifically to the amendment.
No, not the amendment.
Okay. Would anyone else like to speak to the amendment? Noting if you've spoken to the original motion, you can speak to the amendment.
Yes. Yes, I'd like to speak to the amendment. And could I suggest that, following on from your point, Acting Mayor, about the actual amendment including this allocation in the 24-25 budget, for consultation, could I suggest that the mover and seconder consider for consultation and consideration by council? That then gives the council the scope to either accept or decline to include the $20,000 allocation in the 24-25 budget, draft budget, by including, in my view, the word consultation and consideration by council. Would the mover and seconder consider that as a variation?
Yes,
I shall.
Seeing leave of the meeting, that variation be accepted for the amendment. Okay, so we'll speak.
Speaking to it, I support the amendment, and I support wholeheartedly point two, and I support point three clearly. And in speaking to the recommendation to the council as it currently stands, I would like to see a commitment, should this get up, I would like to see the administration seek a commitment from the Sterling Business Association for a contribution to a targeted marketing campaign. If this council is if this community is going to contribute $20,000, I would like to see a contribution from the Sterling Business Association in support of this proposed contribution in the 24-25 budget. Hence, my suggestion for asked to be included for consultation and consideration by the council. The consideration by the council, I would expect the administration to come back to the council with some discussion that they've had with the Sterling Business Association as to whether they are willing to contribute to this targeted marketing campaign, should ultimately the community and the council agree to this proposal going forward. I commend the motion as it currently stands, and I think that gives the administration scope to seek the views and commitment from the business association to the intent of this this resolution in its entirety.
Yeah, would anyone else like to speak to the amendment? Councillor Settle.
Thank you. Yes, I think this is a sensible amendment. The question of equity keeps coming back to me this time around all of this, and you know there are projects that we have considered in looking at our annual budget and business plan, and we've decided to defer some of those potentially. So, you know, I do think that we need to really think about whether this goes in and find out what the community thinks about this being in our budget. And I think that's really important. I also believe that we already fund a number of things that do create marketing campaigns towards Sterling, including like Hills Tourism, and also we collect the levy for the Sterling Business Association. So I do feel like there are mechanisms already in place that do some of this work. And I know that this has been an unusual circumstance, but I think it is worth us finding out what our community views are on this.
Thank you, Councillor Sewell. Councillor, how many votes?
Briefly, I could have done it, but I wasn't sure there'd be support around the chamber, so thank you, Councillor Barton.
That's right. Thanks for the idea, Councillor.
This is a matter of principle, that this is a new type of expenditure. It hadn't been highlighted to us at the budget workshop, as I recall. I don't think it was flagged at the audit committee the other week as a possible expenditure. And I strongly believe that any type of new things like this ought to rank with other initiatives that are before the council as a matter of principle. As I said, I supported this concept in my opening remarks, so I will support the amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Sewell. Thank you, Councillor Mudge. Speak to the amendment.
I guess I'm not going to die in the ditch over if this amendment gets up, just like Councillor Mudge. But I think we're going to give it a hash of it. And I would point out that I did actually bring this up at the budget workshop. I did mention it, that there was an allocation for a measure which was never presented to council in the end, but there wasn't an allocation for this, even though it was a motion on the books at the time. So this was actually foreshadowed. We didn't know what the quantum of it would be. I made some suggestions which were probably in hindsight a bit high, but at the time I didn't know what the budget situation for the next financial year was going to be and how much of a situation we're going to be in. I guess the main issue I have with this is we've had a motion, we've supported something in principle, council staff have gone away and they've done an investigation. And they've looked at all the different aspects of it. They've actually consulted the Stirling Business Association, and this was one of their suggestions. In fact, it was one of their main suggestions. And they suggested that it does, if you actually read what's in the report about their suggestion, it does suggest that they would work with council staff to do that. And one of the key things that I originally put the motion up for fairly quickly was that I want this to happen fairly quickly and to provide some sort of certainty to the struggling business owners on the main street of Stirling. And look, I take on board the equity issue, but this is a catastrophic event. It is a really big, major event. I haven't seen anything happen in this part of the hills for the last 20 years that I've been living up here. It has a quite significant effect on some of the main street traders, and there has been a significant drop in income for some of those traders because of the loss of foot traffic. So look, I'm not going to die on the dish about it, but yeah.
And Councillor Boyd, you'd like to speak to the amendment?
Absolutely. So regarding number three, regarding marketing, I can assure you that feedback from Simon Jones from the SBA, he said it's a big yes, this is his words, council could put money in together with the SBA, and we can work on an agreed project that we can work on together. And I think that shows us that the SBA are willing to put their money where their mouth is. And then I agree with Councillor Mudge that given the catastrophe, the sooner the better. And we've already told them that we're going to give them the support. And I actually think that $20,000 is very good value for getting a campaign and implementation if that's all we can get. And so that's me.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Boyd. Would anyone else like to speak to the amendment? Okay, vote closed. I will put the amendment. All those in favour, please say aye. No to write. Those against, the amendment is carried. So we now have the motion as amended. Would anyone like to speak to this? Councillor Cheetah.
To not take anything away, I guess, from what's happened, this is new territory for us. You know, we've got some terrible events occur within our region, especially between bushfires and flood. This is quite unique. And it's not about, I guess, taking time and delaying the support. I would have probably said that would have been a consideration in my thinking on this should we have gone down a route of direct financial support. We've workshopped this. This is, the motion hasn't been completely butchered as yet, but the general sentiment is not around direct financial support. So the sense of urgency, Councilor, from my perspective.
I'm so sorry to interrupt, Councillor Cheetah. Because Councillor Cheetah seconded the amendment.
But our meeting procedures, we had a talk about this a couple of meetings ago, actually does not preclude the mover and the seconder of the amendment. So whenever it got updated at some point in the past. Right, yeah, so that's why I did allow it.
I mean, this happened once before.
No, because in the past our meeting procedures explicitly stated someone who moved and seconded the amendment could not then speak to the motion as amended.
Yeah.
Our meeting procedures currently allow that to occur, so
I was subject to this debate last year, but I didn't know the old style.
Can I offer my apologies to Councillor Cheetah?
I will motion to accept your apologies, Councillor Drummond.
So, continue.
Well, now again, trying to go back. I think there's an opportunity here as well for us to have some consultation in this as part of the ABP, because these things do happen. We've now had a scenario about where it has occurred, and we are being very reactive. We need to be reactive in these situations to provide the kind of support that's required. But this is, and again, you know, really driving that point of not to take anything away from the impacts. We need to understand how we play this out as a council. So when this comes down to future, how this works and what the expectation of our community is. I do have some questions on whether the Stirling Business Association is maybe the best to work with on this. We haven't had the opportunity to explore that. Are we maybe looking at forming something else that directly works with traders, given that traders are going to be one of the more impacted, and maybe some of the representation from landlords may skew how this marketing campaign works. We are limited on internal resources and availability to really run the kind of campaign that we're looking to do, which is why we're looking for a consultant, which is why it'd be good to understand if we need to pull this trigger down the track, what's our community think about it? We get some time to think on it from the financial impact, but also understanding, I think for me, there's been lots of questions around, what do people want? And anecdotal feedback was referred to in this, and there is a lot of anecdotal feedback, which makes it very difficult to put out KPIs and measures as referenced by the questions from Council or Osterstock. So I think the amendment itself, added with the intent of this motion, gives us the ability to call it, get this right, or do it as best as we can, so that we've got a bit of an understanding down the line, if we need to pull such triggers, what they look like. So I support the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Cheetah. Yes, Councillor Parkin would like to speak.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to speak. I actually support Councillor Cheetah's sentiment. I also agree that we probably do need, if possible, more of an evidentiary base upon which to make this decision. I think everyone thinks, oh, fire equals catastrophe equals this is terrible. But, you know, I do know anecdotally that some of the trading businesses in the district are actually fine, they're doing fine. Some aren't, and some are. And there's also other mitigating circumstances to do with CPI increases, cost of living, that are impacting businesses as well. So it's not just the fire. So it's actually quite complex. So I think, you know, giving time to have a look at that and to see what other initiatives we are undertaking as a council that could assist could be really good. I'd also like to speak to point four in the motion, which if you just scroll down. The Office of Small and Family Business offer a number of supports to small business. They offer a number of programs. They offer assistance with marketing. They offer one-on-one business counselling. There's a guy called Luke Teddy, who is an officer, an industry consultant for the Office of Small and Family Business, who lives in the hills. I ran into him in Foodland the other day, and I'm not sure if he has connected with the business team at the Adelaide Hills Council, but it may be worth making that connection and seeing what programs the Office of Small and Family Business can offer. But other than that, I commend the motion.
Councillor Huxter.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Sorry about my voice, everybody. I have concerns about this. I think that there's a few things that everyone's raised that there's just a few loose ends. I think that no one seems to really know where we stand on particular issues that we might be committing ourselves to. I'm worried that if Council avoid have conversations with Simon Jones that haven't been put into the motion, that the Stirling Business Association is happy to commit funding to this as well. We should probably be formalising that into the motion before moving it.
We understand your point, but we would need some sort of formal communication on this.
Yeah,
which has not.
Yes. Yeah, that's probably what I mean, is that there's no formal communication to confirm that. My other concern is that there's lots of horrible things that happen across our region. We've had bushfires and hailstorms and all sorts of wild and wonderful things happen, and I don't know how this compares to assistance that we've been given other businesses in other parts of our council region that have gone through pretty tough times. I really like point four. I think, and I appreciate Councillor Parkin's insight as well into the Office of Small Business, Small Family Business, that there are different avenues that could be followed as well, not just that in which council can provide. I'm worried. It's not usually my caper to say that I'm worried about setting a precedent, but I am worried about setting a precedent with this. What happens next time someone faces a town faces a terrible situation? Are we setting ourselves up to continue to help in these times? It's probably not council's place every single time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hux. Would anyone else like to? So, Councillor Selwood and Councillor Osterstrom.
Yes, thank you. Similar to Councillor Huxter, I do have a number of concerns with this. You know, I was talking to a cherry grower the other day. It takes 7 years to grow cherry trees back up for a bushfire and make them profitable again. And, you know, we're only 5 years since the 2019 bushfires, and, you know, council's role in the recovery efforts of the 2019 bushfires were huge, and we have to do a lot for those areas. But we didn't create a marketing plan to help all the areas that were affected by bushfires. We didn't help some of those businesses when they were struggling and are still struggling. They've probably got another couple of years worth of struggle on their hands. I feel like I couldn't have supported this motion without the amendment that was made to point three, but I'm feeling a bit more lenient towards it now. But the question that's weighing on me is, what is the role of local government in recovery of these types of events? Is it our role to support businesses in these times, or is it not? And I think that's the question that I'm still grappling with and probably will until we have put our hands up. But in addition to what Councillor Parkin said about and Office of Small Family Business, there's also Regional Development Australia. And they actually provide a lot of the same sort of services as well. They mentor businesses. I've engaged in some of those programs before and they're really helpful. And there's a lot of things that they can do to help businesses get back on their feet. And I think that those things are out there. So that is what I'm really thinking about, is what is our role in supporting these businesses. It was a very unfortunate event, and I know it's impacted a lot of people, but we do need to think about how we fit into this problem.
Okay, Councillor Sistar.
Am I able to move a further amendment?
Yes, you can, but you only have one other elected member who can second it.
Who's that?
Councillor Grant.
Oh!
thank you. Let's go through the process.
Point three. If I can just drop it down so I can read it, please, to be included in the condition of consideration. Comma after council. Thank you. Contingent upon the Stirling Business Association making a contribution.
Do you want to define what sort of contribution?
No.
Okay.
A financial contribution. Thank you. A financial contribution to any targeted marketing campaign, full stop.
Marketing. So you can speak specifically to the amendment.
Thank you. Taking on board the views that have been expressed by my colleagues, I think this amendment captures those views. This is unique. We haven't actively financially assisted other industries within our region that have been the subject of disasters, for want of a better word. And I think this amendment captures those views. I think we have a long and valuable association with the Stirling Business Association, and I think that they will appreciate the council's position and embrace what we are seeking to achieve, and contribute. I would expect that they would be willing to contribute financially to any targeted marketing campaign. And given the presentations that this council has received on this subject in the past, so I commend the amendment.
Councillor Grant, would you like to second the amendment?
Oh, sorry, I wasn't listening. Yeah, I'll second that amendment.
Would you like to speak to the amendment?
Oh, yeah, look, I'll just speak to it briefly. I think this might capture some of, I think this has been a worthwhile discussion. I know it's only a small amount of money, but this is capturing an important part of the discussion relating to the role of the council and why and how we're best applying money in this situation. And I think that refines what's been developed hitherto to kind of tie that type of discussion. So, yeah, I'll support the amendment.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to the amendment, noting we have been discussing this item for some time, but anyone can speak specifically to that second amendment. I'll remove the second. Councillor Sherman.
More of a question and probably semantics, but no, the reality is, I guess that's trying to open up a conversation with the SBA to come on board with it. The reality is if they put a dollar up, it's met the criteria, is that?
That's correct.
Okay.
But I think having that discussion could be beneficial.
Sure.
It's up to you guys. Anyone else like to speak to the amendment? Okay, so I'll put the amendment. All those in favour, please indicate. Those against? So the amendment is carried. So we now have the motion as amended.
I'm almost prepared to move a formal motion.
No, it's fine. We're at the end of the journey here. So I'll go back to Councillor Mudge for his right of reply, and then we'll put it to the vote.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Look, I personally think that all of these aims are going to be achieved from this amendments anyway. I'm not going to die in the ditch about it. But I was tempted to ask a question of council staff about exactly how much financial assistance we gave communities during the following the Cudlick Creek and the Cherry Gardens bushfires and maybe even the Samson Flat bushfires. But I know it was in the order of millions of dollars worth of assistance. And I do have one figure which I remember quite well was we spent over $1 million just on tree work after the Cudlick Creek bushfire. So in that perspective, $20,000 to assist with the marketing and marketing campaigns are conducted by councils all over Australia, basically. I don't think that's a big ask. So I'm not quite sure what the doubts and the precedents are. But if you're willing to support this motion, I'm happy with that. And I think it's a worthy thing to do. I think it's a good thing for us to do. And it's a response to quite a serious event that has had serious impact on the traders in the biggest sort of commerce and retail centre in the council district. I commend the motion.
Okay, with the debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. Those against, that is carried. So thank you for that debate. I think it was quite holistic and a bit of a journey, but it was good to have that discussion. We're going to move on to item 12.2. I'll again reiterate our material conflict of interest for this item. So we'll leave the chamber as will Councillor Mudge,
yep,
and leave it to you to deliberate over this.
Thank you, Mayor. We'll just wait for the Mayor and Councillor Mudge to leave the room. And Tom, if you, yeah, we'll leave it at that. Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Now I'll seek interest for someone to take over the chair.
Councillor Sewell.
Councillor Sewell, yeah. Do you have any? Of course. Do we want to?
Councillor Silver, please sit forward. Thank you. The administration have anything they wanted to add to the firm before we.
I'd just like to point out the side amendment 3212, including the deputy in the dinner member in that point.
Do we have any questions before we move to the debate?
Thank you. I note the rationale and the report for the proposed figures for remuneration for the members of the panel. Are these figures consistent with? I think we're Group Two. We're a Group Two council, mm-hmm. I think, from memory. Are these figures consistent with Group Two Council's remuneration for their panel members? That's probably taken you by surprise, that question, Darren. But I think it's a relevant question.
Could somebody just clarify the Group Two Council's for me, and can I ask a question?
From memory. Adelaide Hills Council, Campbelltown, Burnside, Prospect, I think, from memory. Councils of a comparable population size to Adelaide Hills Council.
Certainly, Campbelltown's presiding member fee is slightly less, and also their independent ordinary member is slightly less, but their elected member fee is higher than our current fees, and also higher than what was suggested for elected members. Then Burnside. City of Burnside, quite higher. Their presiding member fee is $625. Their ordinary independent members would be consistent with what's been proposed in the report as the revised $450 city fee. And they have a lesser fee than what's suggested for elected members. Prospect also have they have the same current presiding member sitting fee. They have a higher sitting fee than what's proposed for our ordinary members, and they don't pay an elected member sitting fee at all. So it is a little bit varied, and that's why we talk medium and the mean to calculate the time to take the review.
Thank you.
Do we have a mover for the item? Councillor Cheatham? Councillor Lynn, did you have a question?
No, I'll tell the note.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to speak to the item? Councillor Henry, would you like to second?
Yeah, just, I'll second just briefly. The increase is fairly modest, and I know the last one is in 22. It's going to be reviewed again in 4 years' time, so any increase is over the 4 year period. And then there's the bigger question that I often wonder, shouldn't there be some sort of consistency across these fees? I make that comment because I would think planning issues are no different. They might be greater in some aspect, but planning issues across local government are virtually the same. Right, you might argue that we're in a bushfire zone, we're in a watershed zone, but then other councils might have other issues. I think my own view, and I think what I can do about it, is that the LGA would be coming up with some sort of system, as they have done with grouping councils for elected members' allowances. The same thing should apply to the planning one as well. The audit and Boundaries Commission and the CEO's performance review panel, their fees are set by the panel of the remuneration tribunal. I don't see that these are any different. So, upset.
Thank you, Councillor Chiga. Could you please give them the
email? I just wanted to do my diligence and that I move it as printed.
Okay. Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to the item? No? I will put the item, all those in favour. And that carried unanimously. Thank you.
Okay, councillors, and we could, Tom, if you could please invite the councillors back in the chamber.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. We'll move on to item 12.3. The Local Government Income Protection Fund. The administration will dismiss letters. If you have any additional information you'd like to provide to the chamber.
No, thank you.
Would someone like to move something in relation to the title? Councillor Osterstock.
Thank you, and I thank the administration for the report. I move the recommendation as printed. And an interesting report. And I look forward to the outcome of the CEO's, should this motion get up, and negotiations in terms of any future employee agreement following 1st of July 2025. Thank you.
Someone like to second the motion, Councillor Bradford, if you'd like to speak to the motion.
Just briefly, this matter came up through the audit committee when they were provided with information in regard to the insurance premium portfolio back in about August last year, where it was noted that the premium for this benefit or cover is now $346,000, not a small amount of money, and whether there are other ways of providing some sort of assistance to employees rather than through this fund. The report's come back, quite a detailed report, and it's been now referred to the CEO for a termination that will put on the table for the new employment development group.
Thank you, Councillor Hamill. Would anyone else like to speak to this motion? Councillor Searle, then Councillor Grant.
Yes, thank you. Firstly, I wanted to thank Councillor Hamill for bringing this up at the Audit Committee, which is where this journey started at looking at this. Personally, my own view is that I wouldn't want to see it negotiated away. However, I do think it's good for the staff to be able to discuss that in these negotiations. There may be something that staff members want more than this. So I think this gives the opportunity for it to be in the negotiation. And it might not be the right fit for what we're doing, and that will come up through those negotiations. So I commend the motion.
Councillor Grant and Councillor Munch.
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. If I could ask a question first. Thank you for the report, Ms. Laverty, being here. Can you explain under what sort of circumstances an employee would take benefit of this income support fund? Are you able to, because workers' compensation covers work injuries, there's sick entitlements, there's other entitlements. So what circumstances would this capture?
I can tell you from personal experience, if you have an illness that is outside of a work cover situation, like I had to have some major surgery, I had to go on leave, and it was an extended period of time for recovery, and that saved me and my family from, well, I guess, losing our house, really. So, illness and injuries outside of the work.
Yes.
Just add a little bit of that.
Hold on. Thanks, everyone. If we could just pay attention.
As I recall in discussion with the audit committee, if you can't attend work, or if it's workers' compensation, that's covered, so that's not an issue. The second protocol is sick leave, if you're sick. Third protocol is your annual leave, and accrual, if any. Fourth protocol is long service leave, if you're eligible. When they, if you're not eligible, or they will run out and you have no form of income, then this would kick in for protection, it kicks in. I guess, so people that work in the public service, and I guess there's some around here that do that, may or may not have a cover. It is quite common, and I was covered in when I worked in local government, didn't have this, but as part of my superannuation premium, I paid it what they call, I think, insurance or something like that, which then covered me if I was going to be destitute. The intention is not there to do that. It's there to let the CEO have a look at it and talk, as Councillor Selwood said, talk to the staff about it. And some people would never use it. They might say, well, look, I don't want that, but I'd like something else. Thanks. That's on the page.
So, Councillor Grant, do you get a sense from this, those here, Councillor Herman, when and how this scheme would apply?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mayor. I think Councillor Herman got to speak to the motion twice.
Mm-hmm.
If I may continue, thank you for the answer. Yeah, I think this is worth examining. I did some rough numbers. This costs us $346,000 a year. The rough return to employees is $133,000 a year plus half of an FCE. It equates to about $1,700 per employee. It costs us for a return around $660,000. Far from it for me to seek to remove workers' entitlements, because that's not what I want to do here, but what I do want is to see good value for money for this expenditure. I investigated with my own superannuation fund what it would cost to get income protection insurance, and it came in under $1,000. So I think if I were in this situation, I'd prefer the money in my hand, and I can make the choice of whether the income protection with my own superannuation scheme or not. And I think it'd be better for employees. And I think this sort of income protection clearly is a valuable asset. But are we getting good value for money? I think that's something that workers and their union can probably negotiate what the best outcome is, because it doesn't look like good value for money. And what I want is a good return for the workers for the amount of money that this organisation is spending on it. I support the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Grant. I'll go to Councillor Martin.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I guess I wanted to talk about my experience with this sort of insurance. And I haven't talked about it to anyone here that I'm aware of up until now. Almost 20 years ago now, when I was 36, I got cancer and I had to have a major operation, bowel operation, and chemotherapy. And at the time that happened to me, I had just quit a pretty good public service job. with the Department of Defence, and started the job with Warwick Raytheon Australia, which is the defence contractor. So I didn't have lots of leave. I think I had the 20-day sick leave. I didn't have any annual leave. And I had a situation where the company, fortunately, did have some insurance, but they had commercial insurance, and it only covered, as per commercial insurance column 4 in the table, only covered up to 70% of your salary. However, there was a 90-day waiting period, and that was just too long for me. The thing that got me by was that there was also a trauma insurance associated with it. So I was, because I had a major operation, I was able to claim on that and got some money based on that. But it was a very involved process. I think that this deal for council staff is a very good deal from having a look at it. And look, I'm not a financial advisor, so please don't take this as financial advice. This is not professional advice. But to me, it looks like a very good deal for a pretty affordable price. Now, I have income protection insurance on my superannuation at the moment, and it's around about what the commercial insurance would be for the month. And it's dependent on the salary as well, what you pay. My other concern is if we moved out of this scheme.
Just bearing in mind, this is for the CEO to consider. Yeah. This is part of the negotiations. We're not making our judgment on it.
No,
giving people a little bit of scope with that, but let's try to keep it somewhat
focused. I guess my concern is if we were to try and move away from it, the fact that about 90% to 95% of the other councils that we, I guess, compete with for the pool of experienced local government professionals are actually members of the scheme. So if we sort of try and trade it away, we could potentially be attracting less staff to our council. So that would be my concern if we went down that path. I actually think what we have at the moment is a pretty good scheme. And I did even contemplate actually offering an alternative motion, which was that we started the LGIPF scheme. But,
That wouldn't be our decision.
No.
That's not our decision. We're essentially referring. It's not to understand that obviously people are going to make an assessment to some degree with the report.
Yeah.
So it would be up to the CEO to make that.
But to me, I think it is a good scheme, and it provides a level of security to council staff, and it attracts council staff. I think it would be attracted to work for us otherwise if we were to get rid of it or move to just give them the money and say go and find a commercial deal, which I don't think they would be able to find, which is just as good as this scheme and would probably not cost that much. I'm happy for this to be referred to the CEO for consideration.
Councillor Parker and Councillor Sheehan.
Thanks. I've got a question for both, and I'd like to speak to you.
Sure.
So my question is, are we required to participate in the local government income protection fund, or is the council free to choose other funds if they would like to?
Well, as the report states, not all councils are part of this. So a council could choose not to be, but again, that's not our role. It's a decision between. I really want to
understand that. Yeah. So what I'm asking is basically, is it a choice between this and nothing, or is this just one scheme amongst a number of income protection funds that we could potentially choose? Because I don't think anyone's doubting the validity and the importance of an income protection fund. I think.
But
we do need that. What we're potentially looking at is this the best one for us?
So, the review that occurred was to some degree a desktop review that did look at various options, one being staying with what we have, one being having no cover, and then external being a provider. I think the fourth one was us running it internally. So all the different options were considered to some degree with benefits and risks associated with each of those.
Yeah, thank you. Can I now speak to the item?
Sure.
So understanding that we're not debating this now, we're just referring to the CEO. I also understand that this isn't the council's decision. It's part of the CEO's negotiation of the EBA, which is completely up to the CEO. But I just want to make it pretty clear, though, I don't think anyone's saying that there shouldn't be an income protection, a primary income protection scheme. What we're potentially looking at is this something we could streamline and make more cost effective for the council while still providing the same kind of service for our staff? That is my understanding, and I don't see any issue with looking at that. We should come to these sorts of decisions and negotiations armed with all of the information to make the best possible decision. So I commend the motion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I had a question. During the negotiation opportunity, should this motion get up, is that a decision that's going to be blanket to all employees in terms of those paths you've presented, or is there the opportunity for an opt-in and opt-out on an individual basis during those negotiations?
The negotiations of the agreement by the EBAs, which will cover all employees, I guess the decision for the new agreement will be between the CEO and those unions representing the employees as to what option would be best. And that could be all-encompassing, could be something else, but that's up to them.
Yeah,
so at this point, the current process is that it covers all employees.
Yeah, so an opt-in or out could be an option.
That's up to them, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak to the motion? Okay, Councillor Sossop, do you need to write up for a while?
Yeah, just briefly, and I concur clearly with your comments that HR matters are clearly within the domain of the CEO. The only role that council plays with in respect to quote unquote HR matters is the setting of the budget for salaries and wages. That's the only thing that we can control as a governing body. Putting that aside, in respect to this motion, there are other options that are available to do with quote-unquote income protection. And just from a personal perspective, in the police department, we have an income protection scheme whereby members of the police department donate one annual leave day per year into what's called a leave bank fund. And that leave bank fund has thousands of days of recreation leave. And when in the unfortunate situation where a police officer, a member of the fund, is ill and uses all their entitlements, their sick leave and their annual leave, I think long service leave is preserved. But certainly if they use all their annual leave and their long service leave, they can then draw upon the police leave bank fund, which they've contributed to throughout their career, up to 2 years of entitlement. And so there are other mechanisms that are available to achieve the same outcome. And clearly that is a matter for the CEO to determine which is the most cost-effective option for the ratepayers of our council district in negotiating any income protection for our council employees. I've never had to draw upon the police leave bank fund, thankfully, but anecdotally, it's a very successful and well-respected income protection fund, for want of a better word, and it is something that is, as I said, contributed to by all members. And we don't contribute a day's recreation leave every year. There is a certain threshold of the balance of within the leave bank fund. When it falls below, as I understand it, that level of might be 10,000 days of annual leave in the fund, for want of a better description, a call was put out to all police officers, and we donate a day's annual leave, and it's a very successful protection scheme. So, for what that's worth.
Okay, debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to item 4.4, the GRFMA annual business plan. Mr. Waters, do you have any additional information you'd like to provide to the chamber?
Thank you, through you, Acting Mayor, just to point out, I won't go through the report again, but just to point out that one of the other constituent councils had resolved not to approve the budget in its current form. They approved it subject to certain things coming out, and that's described in the report. So I just wanted members to be aware. I understand that the board did meet late last week and had contemplated, given some initial contemplation to that of the council's position and is working through what it may do next. So if our council does resolve as per the recommendation, that's not going to be extraordinary for GRFMA to have to deal with. And I understand that they will continue to work on alternatives to how they present their budget back to council and member councils.
Thank you, Mr. Waters. Would someone like to move something in relation to this item? Councillor Lunch, what would you like to move?
I'd like to move the motion as printed.
Would you like to speak to the motion?
This is an interesting one because when I first got on the council, I found out about the Gawler River Floodplain Management Authority, and I did question why we're involved in it, basically. And notwithstanding Councillor Herman's involvement and diligence and the actual work that this organisation does to protect the people downstream in that Gawler sort of floodplain area and the need for its activities, I actually think there's a really good case for us to actually not be involved in it because it provides it doesn't reduce any risk for our ratepayers. And there's a really good argument in the report here that we don't actually really contribute to it because our part of the catchment goes into the South Parra Reservoir and it's controlled by SA Water, who actually releases into the catchment. So, that actual volume of floodwater is actually not contributing, I guess, to the flood risk at all, really, because of that dam. So, I think that we do actually have some flood risk areas within our council. I can think of a number of different floods that have occurred down the Onkaparinga Valley in areas such as the Dunn. I think Oakbank, I think they regularly have issues with flooding there as well. So we actually potentially have areas where we would be better investing our flood mitigation dollar than providing benefit for other councils on the floodplain. Now, that's not to say that it's not a worthy thing to actually do, but really, if there's an argument that surrounding councils or surrounding areas should be supporting this area, it should be really funding from the state government that's providing that funding rather than us. So I actually support us pushing back against this particular method. I think there's also a debate about operating expenditure and capital expenditure. You could potentially argue, and I know the accounts probably don't count it this way, but you could argue that the business case for flood mitigation works is actually part of the actual capital expenditure rather than the operating expenditure. I think it's a move in the right direction to push back as to this funding. And also, I think it's good point four where it says we will examine whether there are risks and opportunities associated with our ongoing membership in the Gawler River Floodplain Management Authority. I do remember when I asked about it initially, it was sort of like a historical thing that some time way back when there was still separate councils, Dumaranga Council got involved and we sort of inherited it. I think it's definitely worth exploring our process for potentially withdrawing.
Thank you, Councillor Brown. You'd like to second?
Yes, I would, thank you, Worship.
Speak to the motion.
Yeah, just briefly, thank you, Worship. I find myself in the position yet again of agreeing completely with Councillor Mudge, in substance, if not in quantity.
Councillor Brown, would anyone else like to speak to this motion? Councillor Herman and Councillor Parkin.
As your representative on the TRRMA, I mentioned a number of times in this chamber, I was very uneasy about this latest development business plan for the management of the stormwater and the Moore River floodplain. I did mention, I think it's like a frog in water that's boiling. The frog doesn't realise it and it gets burnt. This is a bit of a lapse by filth as well. And that's why I'm very pleased that the report has come forward in this way. And I have checked, I am a member of council tonight. I can speak here freely, I don't have any conflicts. I think it's a good report. There is a process to go through to withdraw from the authority. And at the ultimate, the minister must give approval. My own view is that this budding conflict should be a responsibility of the state government. Clearly, they're pushing back on that to make sure, you know, the local government. And when I look at it, anyone familiar with Rivoli development? Yeah, huge. It is 40,000 people going out there, generate huge amounts of flood water. And that has to be met. We will contribute to that if we remember the authority. It really does. Sorry?
Awesome.
I have just had my plug here. We contribute through Malcolm Creek, which is the other side of Kirtle. Just know Malcolm Creek flows into the South Parra, which has an extra metre put on it to stop the flood water. Yeah. So
is it particularly money in the
winters?
Yeah. So I support the motion. And I don't think it's unexpected that some members of the board.
Councillor Parkin.
Thank you. I have a question and then I'd like to speak briefly. Firstly, the question I would like to ask is how difficult it would actually be for us to extricate ourselves from this authority altogether and what that process would be. If you want to take that on notice, that's fine.
Yeah, so the report part four, I think it is in the motion, will ultimately explore that. I think with any authority, there is quite a process as per their charter, and ultimately, as Councillor Herman mentioned, it would need to be approved by the minister. But the point four will examine that and bring that information back to us so we can make an informed decision. Yeah,
okay, thank you. Now, I'd like to speak to it. I obviously am going to support this. I'm concerned that, in the proposed budget, there's a complete total increase in terms of our contribution from 27,000. 356 to 48,642, which is a total increase of 78%, which is the greatest increase of any of participating councils. So not sure why they thought that was appropriate, but obviously didn't. So yeah, I do think we need to push back on this, particularly when we are looking at making sure we run a really lean, efficient budget in 2024-2025. And I think we can't afford to continue with this sort of level of generosity. So, yeah, support the motion. Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak to the motion? No. So,
Councillor
Mudge,
do
you have the right reply?
I think everything's been said.
Thanks. So, debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. So, we have two information items. The first one being regarding the disability access and inclusion plan. Do the administration speak here any additional information you'd like to provide to the chamber tonight?
Yes, please, Acting Mayor. Just briefly, further to the report, I'd like to just provide a little bit more information about the Cadet Engineer Initiative, which is described in the appendix, which was our submission to DHS on page 6 in appendix 1. The cadet engineer position is an initial pilot and would be subsidised by the Australian Government's Disability Employment Services Wage Subsidy Scheme, with the candidates sourced and recruited through Community Bridging Services, or CBS, who are a local disability employment services provider. The cadet position would be a 2 days a week appointment and would be a fixed term position. Indicative costing for the 12-month pilot is around $5,700 post the 80% subsidy. Given the costs, this pilot can be accommodated within the existing 2024-25 operational budget for civil services. Thanks.
Thank you. Would someone like to move something in relation to this one? Councillor Herman?
Mr. President.
Do you like to speak to the item at all?
No, I did ask a couple of questions on it and I've been
asked. Thanks. Would someone like to second the motion? Councillor Selwood, would you like to speak?
Oh, only very, very briefly, just to say congratulations to the administration, particularly Mr. Spears, the work that Council is doing around disability inclusion is excellent, and I'm really pleased to see that we're taking a lot of these great actions.
Agree. Anyone else like to speak to you on? Okay, with debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to item 13.2, our quarterly Council reports with the law. Ms. Overty, do you have any additional information you'd like to provide?
No, thank you, Acting Mayor.
As always, a nice simple report. It's always good to read through. Would someone like to move something in relation to this item? Councillor Selwyn, what would you like to move? Would someone like to second that? Councillor Cheever, does anyone wish to speak to the item? No? All those in favour, please indicate. That is also carried unanimously. And we now move on to 14. There are no correspondence for noting. Questions without notice. Does anyone have a question without notice tonight? Councillor Hudson.
Sorry.
Did I just say sorry? You can ask your question.
I should have flagged it earlier though. So apologies everyone. Can someone give me any information on the roadworks in Oakbank? By the OTR
in between the bridge.
So just for the record, Acting Mayor, this is the wrong agency to fill in that query.
Yes.
It's not a council job. However, we can inquire tomorrow and find out when they are expected. I know it's frustrating. I'm sure most of you have worried about the ways to get around it. And then bother trying to deal with the traffic lights there, but we'll endeavour to find out tomorrow.
Thank you. Sorry, I could have asked that another time. Thank you.
Any other questions without notice? Do we have any motions without notice?
Yes.
Councillor Herman.
I do have two. Thank you for the administration putting on the special screens. That's to congratulate our local member, Dan Cregan, on his elevation to cabinet. And the second one is congratulating the new Minister of Local Government.
So I'm happy to accept those as you have to have them both as one motion.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm happy to accept that as a motion without notice after taking into account the guiding principles. So you can speak to your motion and then I'll.
I just think this opens the door up that if we need to get to someone here, and I noticed in the acting mayor's report that you've already met with Dan Cregan. No, I'm not sure. Prior to or.
No, it was Josh. Just here.
Is our member. Our
anyway.
Oh, you all know it's your competition.
How are you? All right, so Councillor Herman, you have to report. Would you like to speak any further to your motion?
No, yeah. I need to say that I think if they get a letter from us, they know what it's there. They come a time acting mayor, and you might be knocking on one of their doors.
Sure. I hope they already know it exists. Councillor Sheehan.
I'd like to second it.
Sure, you'd like to speak to the motion? Thank you. Would anyone like to speak to this motion? Okay, debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. So we'll move on to item 17.1, where we have a council member functional activity. Does anyone have any burning questions associated with that? Nope. Yes, Councillor Lunch.
What did you discuss with the member for us?
The member for Hyson, interestingly, the first thing he brought up was we released a flyer around native vegetation blue marker sites, and he just wanted to know more information about what that program is, how it works. One of the other key things that we discussed, or he asked about how it's progressing, is the Stirling Lawns. And we just had that workshop, I think, a week or two prior. So I gave him an update on that. And also, then the CEO provided some of that documentation. So when people go and talk to Josh, he has that he can share with them. The other items, I did make a note of it. We also talked about the selling fire, the general pressure on small businesses, and also that they're going to change. Yeah, so it's quite a good discussion.
Any news on Deputy Premier?
So that meeting was specifically with regard to the West Collection Bill. So it was a really good opportunity actually to talk through our trial. And how that's going, and the scope of it, what we're looking at doing, particularly with regard to the potential changes and how that would influence what's feasible for us. We had a good discussion about the challenges that we have in our council being classified as metropolitan, but having metro households and rural households. I think it was a very fruitful discussion because we sort of walked away with that, with them having a good understanding and being open to accommodating that complexity for us in whatever the final legislation looks like. So, yeah, we'll deal with it. All right, so we'll move on to 17.2, which was just the Southern Hills Local Government Association, which was held in here, which was good. I don't have anything specific to report to that. Well, actually, no, I will report a little bit. So it was, the association, I would say, is with Graham Martin, the current chief officer for that association, will be ending his tenure in September. So they're having a bit of a holistic look at how that association will be led. And to do so in a way that's really strategic to provide benefits to, when you have all these CEOs and mayors meeting in a room, you want those to be fruitful strategic discussions. So that's something that association is exploring at the moment, because it's a prime opportunity to do that. It's Councillor Parkman.
Just a question around that, if that's okay, because I actually went to one of these meetings about a year ago. I was actually uncertain as to the purpose of the SG, what is the actual purpose, and what does it exist to do?
Well, you've been on it for a long time. I'm happy to talk to it, but you've been on an association for a long time. So
I have been, and thank you for the question. In a nutshell, I guess they're an advocacy association, and it's a board that seeks significant funding. The origins were around getting significant funding for road networks to really unlock the full potential, whether it's tourism or industry. But it has changed, as you'd appreciate, with the changing needs of our community. So it's at a real turning point around, or pivotal point around, redefining its purpose. And its strategic position moving forward, and looking at how it sits also with Regional Development Australia and what they offer. And some of the work that we're looking at embarking on is identifying some of those gaps where we could possibly fill, where the RDA is not providing some sort of benefit in those areas. So, broadly speaking, that's really what Southern Hills Local Government Association is about.
Thank you.
Thanks. Moving on, they have achieved some really good things, both for us and more broadly for them.
Really?
Yeah, that's all the. All right. I'll move on to see. Right, let's be serious. They have secured millions of dollars of funding for the region for a range of different factors, and that is that. See you. Thanks.
Okay. Yes, thank you. My report tonight is really about, just want to gauge elected members' appetite around a site tour of the Fabric precinct. We're looking at having an on-site walkthrough, but then also having a sit-down workshop in confidence nearby at a local eatery. But as you'd appreciate, because we're out of daylight savings, we're hoping to hold that walkthrough late afternoon, but being late afternoon around 4:30-ish to about 5. And I just wanted to gauge the appetite of the elected member body, whether they could make some arrangements or change some of their work arrangements to accommodate that. The date that we're looking at is around the 6th of May.
Day of the week is that?
It's a Monday. So it's a day. It's a day that we would normally have a workshop at the end, out of the side of the main road. But it would start obviously early, seeking the availability of people arriving early at the site for during daylight hours.
And you appreciate that there's been ongoing negotiations because it's not our site, it's the builder's site at the moment. So we've had to carefully negotiate this window of opportunity to get elected members to have a look.
Councillor Selwood?
I won't be able to make that time on that date, unfortunately, and I would really love to be there because I've been a big advocate of that for a very long time. And also, can I ask the question through you, Acting Mayor, whether we would have a chance to speak with community representation, representatives about what they see for Fabric, you know, particularly because we're advocated for it in the first place.
So, yeah.
Through the mayor, why not? We could have a public forum section on that night, as we do with other workshops, and invite those stakeholders to put their cases forward. Yes, absolutely, and accommodate that.
Councillor Sheehan?
Acknowledging we're still on the form meeting procedures, just conceptually the idea of if elected members wouldn't be able to attend the seconds, so would, yeah, that secondary and normal allocated slot from that community, you know, called a community forum, might be that opportunity to, you know, site visit would be great. But I don't know whether that works for others, but I'll clear up my schedule and make myself available.
Thanks, Councillor Sheehan. All right, so what I'll just maybe suggest, if anyone that also has feedback around availability, they let the CEO know, and then he can consider how to manage that so the maximum amount of people can attend the most aspects of it possible. Yes, Councillor Sheehan.
When does the CEO need to, I guess, firm that up? Because that's not far away, given sort of the time expectation and those responses.
Yes, and through the mayor, we'll get an email out through the Vetvet tomorrow. And if you could indicate your availability over the next couple of days, that would be great. So then we could lock that date in or look at another date. But bearing in mind, time is of the essence because we want to really hold this workshop sooner than later to run through, you know, the old business plan, the new business plan, and where Fabric is heading.
All right, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Okay, so we'll move on to reports of committees. 18.1, we do have minutes for the CAP from the 10th of April 24. Someone to move. So, Councillor Mudge has printed.
Yep.
Someone to second. Councillor Parkin. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We also had the Audit Committee meet. They met on the 15th of April. Would someone like to move, Councillor Hannan?
And just in moving that, but have a look at item 8.2 on the Audit Committee, where we consider the annual business plan. The role of the Audit Committee is more to make sure that process and stability, financial stability, is being maintained. There are three options that came out of the Audit Committee. So just if you'd like to have a look at those before we actually get to the budget, which is
that'll be our next meeting.
Yeah, the next meeting. So
hopefully they've read them already.
Oh, sure they have. They're ribbon.
Someone like to second the motion? Councillor Selwood, you're happy to second?
Yeah.
All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We did not have the CEO-PRP meet. We did have the Boundary Change Committee meet last night, and the minutes were distributed by email. Councillor Osterstock, are you happy to move?
Yes, I'll move those as printed. Members will note that circulated prior to the meeting was the forensic analysis of the Campbelltown's proposal together with our proposed engagement plan. Those documents are confidential, as members would be aware. Much of the boundary committee's work going forward will be in confidence for obvious reasons. We don't want to flag our hand to Campbelltown in our prosecution of our opposition to their proposal. So I just share those thoughts with members, and I commend the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Osterstock. Councillor Bryant, you're happy to second?
Yes, I am. I'm happy to speak.
No worries. And just to let elected members know, if there was conveyed in the email that the two substantive recommendations will come to council at the next meeting. So we're just approving the minutes of this.
Question?
Yes.
To the other you and the CEO, is there any news from the commission about?
No.
That no.
We didn't even any questions. No, not at this stage. We anticipate not too far off.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll put the motion in regard to receiving note in the minutes. All those in favour indicate that is carried unanimously. So we do have one confidential item this evening, the appointment of the CAP independent members. Thank you for coming along tonight.
Yeah.
Found it very much fun. Thanks. All right, so first thing we need to do is move into confidence. Councillor Grant, you're happy to do that.
Okay.
And Councillor Parkins a second. All those in favour, please indicate. And that is carried unanimously. We'll close the meeting at 8:20. I do just want to remind elected members, there are wreaths to collect if you have been allocated to collect a wreath for the end of that day service. Thank you very much.